Hey, Pat.
Yes, sir.
I thought all the twins got their vaccine on April 8th.
They did. They got the one dose Johnson & Johnson. Andrelton Simmons was among them. They did not reach 85%, so I don't know if that's staff and players, but 85% of the players would mean four of them didn't take it, or four or five.
Yeah, I heard traveling party. Is that right?
So that's probably 70 people, and they didn't get, so let's say they got 80%, so 15 don't have it. 15 didn't take it, and I don't know how many of those. Andrelton Simmons was the first guy that came down with it, proudly did not take it. He's a little daffy. But then this Garlic, who admitted to being one of the guys that now has it, he did get vaccinated. And again, what do they say? It takes 2 weeks or something. So it was a week later. He did get vaccinated. They haven't told us who the other two positives were. They're trying to keep that secret. But as I said, let's say one of them is Sano, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea. I'm just throwing that out there. And they start the game tomorrow, and there's not a 290-pound first baseman out there. You get a pretty good hint that, hey,
he's probably
Miguel.
Right.
I don't see Miguel in the dugout either. What the hell's going on here? You know, so I don't know why they don't tell you who the three are. But I have not yet seen, do we have the did they get on the plane today or not? They were going to get tested again this morning. They had no positives yesterday. They're going to get tested again this morning, and then if they all came back clear, then they were going to get on the plane. But I think they believe they have a variant, Joe, one of the variants. They have one of the variants. So anyway, I don't know what's going on, if they're going to try to play a doubleheader. This is a bad place to have a COVID outbreak, though, because you got to try to figure out how to get back to the West Coast and make up the game sometimes this summer.
Don't they have another West Coast trip?
One to Seattle, and then they go to Texas, and there's a day off. There's a day off on the way to Texas, but I don't know if Anaheim's off on that day or not.
Oh, sure.
But they can finagle a schedule with these seven-inning doubleheaders.
I know. How about five-inning tripleheaders, huh? How about we go for five-inning tripleheaders?
We could do that. I've seen that in high schools. Yeah, five-inning tripleheaders, and what the hell. You know what we need, though, Joe? We got to get the Wild back on the ice. That's yesterday in Minnesota sports. Our Fighting Wolves, down by 40 in the third quarter, get humiliated by the Clippers. Right. Our volleyball team, our proud volleyball team, rated third in the country, get beat by the upstart Pitt Panthers in the Sweet 16, which means they won only one tournament game, the Gophers. They get bounced out in the Sweet 16, just like they did 3 years ago when they were the number two seed in the country, and they lost at home to Oregon when the Final Four was being held here and they were supposed to be in it. We got that disappointment. Then our Gopher softball team had been on an 8 or 9 game winning streak, and they got beat by lowly Nebraska on the other side of the right field fence, where I was watching the Gopher baseball team on Sunday fall to 4-20 in the Big Ten.
Oh, boy.
Whoops.
Historically horrible season for John Anderson and the Gophers. 4-20.
Are they injuries? What's going on?
They
playing poorly.
They are playing them. They have some pitchers that they thought were going to be pretty good who are terrible. They have a couple of Tommy Johns, a couple of guys missing. They have no pitching, basically.
Okay.
And then they don't hit that good either. Zach Robbie, you know, Brian's son, who's going to get drafted, went into yesterday's game. He's their three-hitter. He'd been their two-hitter and their three-hitter. Played every game, got every at-bat, you know. Went into yesterday's game hitting .435. This is in game 24. He's got seven RBIs.
Oh, my God.
There's nobody to drive in, and if there is, they walk him. So he's got eight intentional walks this year.
Wow.
Nobody behind him to get any hits. So they're a combination of a lot of things.
Well, and your Wild are back on the ice tonight, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, they are. We're on the road, though, right?
Arizona,
right? Yeah. How many times can you play one team in a single season?
Didn't 17.
Didn't they just get done playing Arizona like three or four in a row?
Yep.
Yeah, and now they're down there playing them again.
I forget.
Nice thing about Arizona, though, is with the pandemic restrictions for with the crowd, you can't tell the difference.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Right? I forgot. I was just down there a couple weeks ago. Do they play at the same arena that the Suns do, or are there two different arenas?
No, the Suns play downtown.
Okay.
And they play out in Glendale next to the next to the football. And when they got out to Glendale and their attendance was terrible, they decided it was the location of the arena, which was new. So it's, you can't replace it immediately, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was listening to, Sports Talk whatever station in Phoenix, and apparently they already want to build a new baseball stadium because they're complaining that their low attendance is the ballpark is downtown.
Yes.
And they want to be out in the suburbs now. Okay.
But the basketball, they did what Target Center did. They redid the basketball arena downtown, and there's been talk about a basketball hockey arena, but I thought that was going to be downtown.
Ah.
But baseball wants to be in the suburbs.
Huh? Yes. Mm-hmm. They cited, there's nowhere to park, and you can't really tailgate. And I thought, okay, is that really your problem?
Did you... Did you ever see the age group that we have in Arizona down there?
Median age?
This is the place where they got the pool, remember?
Yeah. Do you really think that they're going to approve $2 billion for a new ballpark and a new hockey arena and a new basketball arena?
Well, I
don't see them doing that.
That facility can't even be 15 years old, 20 years old, can it?
Well,
isn't that their usual life of a 25 years on a stadium?
No, they've been in business since 97.
They were in there immediately, weren't they?
They played there right away.
Okay.
They won it in 2001, that was only their fourth or fifth year of existence.
Right.
So, anyway,
wow.
So, I can't see Arizona coming up with a lot of money. I don't think they pass a lot of bond issues down there, even though there are rich people.
No. We do have a statement from the Minnesota Vikings players, gentlemen. They have come together as a team, and many of us have decided to exercise our right to not attend in-person voluntary workouts, given the ongoing threat of COVID-19 and the inadequate safety procedures recommended by the NFL. This is the safest path forward for us and our families. This decision was also informed by the dramatic drop in injuries we saw during the 2020 season.
Well, every team is doing that now. The union, after being stupid enough to sign a terrible 10-year agreement, are now taking full advantage of any loopholes that they can find.
Which they should. You like it when they stick it to the NFL, don't you?
Well, plus, let's go back to the days when Joe was the beat guy, right? Yeah. What was the off-season workouts, Joe? The mini camp. 3-day mini camp. That was enough, right?
If that.
I don't think Bud was the last guy to approve of the mini camp.
Right. He wanted to go hunting.
You might have. Yeah, it might have been late 70s before they even had a mini camp. That's enough. 3-day mini camp. Mm-hmm. If you go home, work out, if you show up fat, that's your problem, you know?
Back in the days where a beat writer would cost you a draft pick, that's what I want.
One of my proudest moments.
I still love that story.
How
What's
long
this guy
did you,
doing out
how
here?
How long did you get the stare from Bud after that one? Bud wouldn't have said anything. He'd just give you the stare.
That's worse
imagine.
Even. Huh?
Well, I don't know how long it was, but I can tell you it was icy.
That is a rare treat, isn't it, as a coach, to all you have to do is look at somebody, and you don't even have to tell them what a jackass they are. No. You can just look at
Bud
them.
Bud knew that I knew.
That was enough for him.
You didn't have to be. Zambi probably had already ambled over you and said, Joe,
Yep.
Joe, I love you, Joe, but what the hell were you doing there, man?
And I said to Zambi, I have no bleeping idea.
Was Mock the same way? Did Mock have a look? Or did he was more vocal, huh?
Well, he loved me, so he didn't. He didn't know what the hell to do with me.
The myth of Mock is that he was hard to get along with. He was great with the guys that covered him. He was the out of towners. He would not treat well, but the guy like the old timers in Philly, like Frank Dolson and those guys, all they loved Mock because he'd give them answers.
Right. Yep.
You ask him a question, you get an answer that you could put in the paper.
You might get some steam with it, but you can't answer.
Right.
Well, unless you had a cold, then he'd make you stand outside. Yes.
Yeah, or if you asked about Dan Ford, Disco Danny Ford, getting beat, around third base?
You know what? The one thing bothered me about Gene, he didn't shower after games. Remember that? He did sometimes you'd hear him in there showering, but usually he'd climb right into it. But he'd generally be in there in his... in his baseball
skivvies,
sort of with the top off, and you'd be having a drink. But once in a while, you'd go in there when he was particularly miffed. And even though you could get immediately into the clubhouse when you got down there from the thing, all you'd see was the pile of uniform in the middle of the manager's office with the steam coming off the top of it, and he was gone. He was gone. So, he gave you quotes. Now, you had to, as Joe can tell you, he had to wait 30 seconds sometime, but he was forming an answer in his mind. You know.
Hey, where did he live when he managed the Twins?
Sid's apartment building out in straightaway center field.
He had
the penthouse out there in the straightaway center field. Sid was his landlord.
Wow.
Yep.
And
that's how he got the scoop.
Well, no, I told you his story 100 times when the phone's ringing in the dugout 40 times. He won't answer it. Then they hang up, and 10 seconds later it rings another 20 times, and I look at him, and he looks at me. We're the only two sitting there, and he says, "How would you like to wake up every morning knowing one thing you had to do that day was talk to Sid Hart?"
Perspective.
The quotes were always well thought out. the Gabby Hartnett did he give you the "he's ours and we aren't trading him" on that one?
No, that was for Gary Lipman.
That was Gary Lipman, But what did he give you with Gabby Hartnett? Just a nice little smile or something?
Yeah, because I just said, "What in the bleep is Gabby Hartnett?"
And, what the hell? Why should you know who Gabby Hartnett is?
I had no reason to know, Pat.
Yeah, I know. I did, but just because I'm psychotic about that stuff. But, I don't blame you. Mock should have given you a Yogi Berra. You would have been fine.
Oh, it would have been great. Joe, you know what you need to do? You need to task Patrick with what you tasked us with over the weekend in relation to the Twin center fielder.
We're trying to come up with the top 10 reasons Byron Buxton is not in tonight's lineup.
We had some colorful responses via text,
from the,
Patrick, over
get
the weekend.
Some good
yes,
ones?
Yes, we did. Kenny even participated.
You know who his equivalent is in the NBA? Kevin Durant. He can come up with any excuse not to play. But I came up with the Minnesota equivalent athletically in this century of Byron Buxton. Someone who was vitally important to the team to the point that he made you 20% better when he played. Marion Gabbert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
When he played, the Wild were 20% better than when he didn't play. And he ended up, actually, I looked him up. He had a couple of years where he played them all. So that puts him ahead of Buxton. But when he started breaking down and getting hurt, that you were a lesser team then. So
he won a cup with the Kings, is that right? Didn't Mary?
Years later.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But he, throughout the rest of his career after he left here, he was a 50-game-a-year
Joe
guy.
I just came up with one. He had an allergic reaction to the nap room. Huh? Because you're not a fan of the nap room, I know that.
Felt an unusual warmth in his lower left earlobe.
Rocco is not a doctor.
Dr. Baldelli. You know, I will say that how much of this is Byron and how much of this is Dr. Baldelli convincing him he shouldn't play?
And do you think that message is coming from up above?
No.
Filtering through Dr. Baldelli?
No, I think Dr. Baldelli, you look him up. He was in the big leagues at 21.
Mm-hmm.
Great player.
Yep.
He was
the first overall pick, wasn't
no,
he?
No, sixth.
Okay.
But he was at 21, he's in the big leagues with that rotten Tampa Bay team. And has he finished third, I think, in the rookie of the year voting. The next year he has a good year. And then he breaks his fibula or something, misses an entire season, and the rest of his career is mm-hmm. He was done at 27 or 8 because of a string of injuries. He had this foot thing that I don't know what it was. He dropsy or something. But I think it's all psychologically based on that.
Really?
He's trying to protect people from injuries, which you can't do.
No. Nope.
So,
plus, what are you saving Buxton for? Yeah. Either play him or don't. Either play him or get rid of him.
Yes.
They're too tight, Joe. They're too tight.
That's what Gil's big complaint was always.
Yep, too tight.
Too tight.
Who's that?
Well, Gil, the frequent caller Gil would call it. Because he's the one that always would rip Maurer, and Joe had to inform Gil that Maurer had retired 2 years ago.
He was still mad about it.
That explains why Gil didn't see him.
Yeah.
Somebody sneaked. I wrote the Dr. Baldelli column the other day, you know, about what a fine physician he'd make. You'd come in and say, I'm feeling fine, Doc. And he'd say, don't be too sure about that. You know, but we can find something.
Right,
don't worry.
We'll get you something.
But somebody slipped in a, it all goes back to bilateral leg weakness.
Oh, that'll get you blocked on Twitter.
That's still some commenter was still complaining about that. Gardy ruined. Well, Dr. Steves basically did, because he gave the term to Gardy to give
to the press,
to give to the media when they asked after the game. and Doc probably thought, well, this sounds vague enough. Nobody will ever remember it. And Gardy says, I wasn't there, but, looks at the piece of paper and says, they're calling it bilateral leg weakness. Ruined his career. Oh. Ruined his life. Ruined his reputation.
Poor guy.
And had an effect on his twins. Bilateral egg weakness.
That's right. Yeah, that was a good one.
I forget who said that, but that was hilarious.
That was. I wonder if those little kids are going to go to Durham Hall or some Catholic grade school are they going to go to?
They are currently at my alma mater, grade school-wise, in St. Paul.
They are going to be soccer players. I can tell you, when they were there for Joe's last day, and they hopped the fence and ran out to see him, they were like three. They were motoring, man.
They were moving.
Well, they're going to be running that wing like the Lagos brothers.
Mrs. Maurer was a soccer player, was she not?
Oh, was she?
I thought so. Okay. Didn't you tell me that?
No, I don't. That's not familiar to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just completely making that up.
She went to Nativity, and I think he's going to send those kids to a visitation. Probably not. He's probably going to send them to Crete and Durham.
Yeah. So, what do you think of the Super League?
Which league?
The richest teams in European hockey, soccer. The big teams in England, Italy, and Spain. I don't think France and Germany are involved. Are going to break up the Premier League and form their own league, the Super League. 12 to 15 teams, and they have the soccer world in a absolute maddened upheaval.
Really?
Because
greedy billionaires destroying soccer.
Yes. Is that?
That's what the Daily Mail is reporting.
The Daily Mail is greedy. Yes, yeah. That's pretty much the attitude. They don't. So the Premier League, if you're one of the, they're four or five top teams, you got to split the pot, not like the NFL does. You can make all your marketing and money on that top, but the fee that the main sponsors for the league play, you divide it up 1 through 20, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're a rotten team, but you get you're in the second division and you get moved up to the first division, yeah, you're one of the
jump.
They got the three that come up and the three that come down. You get like millions, and these guys don't want to give millions, I guess, Manchester United and all those. But the soccer world is in a frenzy over this.
Woo-hoo.
So, but Germany and I think Germany and France are not involved in it as of yet. They're best teams. So, but it's I think we should try to get the Loons in there.
I was just going to say,
great.
When do we? What's our?
I think we get the Loons in the Super League.
Are the Loons? Are they running right now?
Yeah, they started Saturday, I believe.
What's their capacity? Do we know what capacity they have?
They played Saturday at Seattle and lost 4-0. Ooh. After being a 0-0 halftime score. And then they're back here Saturday night, I believe. And they're letting, what did I read?
32? Is it 3,200?
4,000.
Oh, 4,000?
Maybe they're letting
4,000. Well, I suppose
4,
they 000. Get more because it's open air.
It's 20,000, yeah. And it holds 20.
So they lost 4-0. Is there a catchphrase like, you got to put the biscuit in the basket for hockey? Do we have, you got to score the soccer ball?
Well, Pat loves saying nil-nil.
Nil-nil.
Nil-nil. Okay,
like
4-0.
Nil-nil.
Hey, what do you think of old Steve Stricker going wire to wire?
Stuart Sink.
Stuart Sink.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? He's been playing good. You know, he's 47. What?
Is he really? I didn't know he was that
I didn't
old.
Look up the stats. When's the last time a guy that age won? It's got to be a while.
You know? Older people have won that tournament.
Harbortown. Remember where they used to get a field because all the Europeans would stay over after playing. You know, they'd come over and play the Masters, and then they'd stay over. Well, they now all live here, so they don't.
Right.
They don't. They all live in Orlando, so they don't come here. You know, or PGA Palm Beach Gardens or someplace. So
the oldest winners of a tournament.
Sam Snead, 53 or something.
52 years, 10 months, 8 days. And that was in 1956. Now it just refreshed, so I lost it. There's a couple other ones, but these guys are in their early 50s.
Jack
51,
was...
Art Wall, the Greater Milwaukee Open.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see, what's the big one? There's nothing really...
Redbush was 46 when he won a Masters in 86, I think.
One of the few I didn't cover in that era. I remember sitting at home in the... in the living room saying, "Nah, I should probably be there." Jack went. Remember about 3 years later, Joe, that he like the first 2 days he made a run, like on Saturday morning he was in contention or something, and they were 49 or 51 or something.
Yep. Davis Love the III at 51 years, 4 months, and 10 days won the 2015 Wyndham Championship.
I would have been there rooting against him.
Go Europe.
Go Europe. Give me an E, give me a U, give me an R, give me an O, like a P, P, E, E, Europe, Europe, Europe.
Oh, boy, we got a lot of looks that day from Radio Row, didn't we? Oh, Pat. What was I going to mention here? You didn't declare the big announcement with our number one basketball recruit. I was very disappointed. There was someone that said he was very disappointed to see that Chet Holmgren didn't pick St. Thomas.
St. Thomas, yes. I thought he might go to New Mexico because he just loved the basketball, the quality of the basketball he saw from Richard Pitino as a youth here. You know, think about it. He was 9 when Pitino got hired as the coach here.
Oh, my God, you're right.
He had 8 years to make an impression. But
wow.
Does
that mean it's likely that Suggs is going to stay? Since they went to high school together?
No.
Suggs is done for sure?
God, be first, second, or third in the draft.
That's
true. You have to be an idiot to leave. Hey, Joe.
I want to reiterate my tweet tweet of he just doesn't have it. You should stay another year in school and learn a little more, get better at basketball.
Hey, Joe. Hmm? You remember what a beanpole your oldest child was?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this guy?
Which guy?
Chet
Holmgren?
No. Is he a beanpole?
7'1", and he might weigh 150 pounds.
He needs a sandwich, man. Get that guy a Wendy's.
No, he needs to go to Grunhoffer's and say, give me everything.
Yeah, right. What's the most fattening product you have? How's that potato salad? Put a little extra mayo in there. Let's go.
He's like that Will Zalatoris, who I don't even think is from Earth.
Yeah, right. That was, he frightened me. Yeah. You know, as I said this last week, the champion's meal dinner would have been raisins and nuts if he'd won the thing next year. You can see Gray sitting there going, boy, that's
enough.
A,
yeah,
that's a good
more
raisin.
Kale, please. More kale. Kale.
Wonder how you get that.
Kale?
Wonder how you get, no, you get that,
desire to do that?
No, your body runs like that where you don't weigh anything.
That'd be called your genetics.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
What is it called? Your chemistry, your metabolism.
Metabolism. How do you get that? Because, I mean, that guy's got to eat, right?
Your chemistry.
So.
There are people who just, it's hard for me to imagine, but there are people who don't like to eat fattening food in great quantities. It's right. It's terrible.
I had the really good furnace up until I, basically started working here.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It is a function of genetics mostly. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people do have the really good metabolism forever.
My buddy Jimbo, he's still 52. He's as skinny as a rail. He eats anything.
Who was the kid we had running the board when we first started doing the morning show? Oh, the overnight kid. Josh.
Overnight Joe?
What was that kid?
Josh Winger.
The kid. Young
Josh
kid.
Winger.
Young guy.
Oh, Winger. Josh Winger.
Josh Winger. And I got in a habit on Tuesday mornings of bringing in donuts.
Okay.
Because we have a donut shop up the street, and I'd knock on the door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I arrange with them and get a couple of dozen donuts right out of the grill.
Oh, nice.
And Coles used to tell me, if he got there before me, Josh would say, "You think he's bringing donuts today?" that was his. The poor kid sat there night after night, all he could think of was donuts.
It's Tuesday. It's donut day.
You know, you really learn, and Rookie, I know you can attest to this too. You really learn how much you love working in radio if you can survive an extended period working overnights.
Yes, that's.
You really can't say that I've ever had to do that one.
Yeah,
my favorite.
That's how I started.
My favorite though is when we used to get the free stuff, right?
Okay.
And now we were working later in the day.
Okay.
And there'd be a dozen Krispy Kremes or something in there, and there'd always be a half of one remaining.
Oh, that would drive you nuts.
What is wrong with Minnesotans? There's one donut left. Take it.
All in. You got to go all in. There's no halfsies.
Just take it. Don't either take it or don't take
it. In fact, your staff knows you well, Patrick, where I don't remember.
He probably did that on purpose.
I don't remember what it was, but Rookie was going to grab the last of something. I said, cut it in half. It's going to drive Royce insane.
So Rookie cut
Not it. Because I wanted it, but the idea that.
Just eat the
I'm gonna
thing.
And we also had another situation. Of course, Rook was behind it because he's so brilliant at this. There was an empty styrofoam container filled with garbage, and Rookie wrote on it, "Free cookies." I think it was Ruffs. I think it was Ruffs that grabbed it and instantly knew it was you.
Damn it. He opened up and went, shoot. He had an expletive.
Oh, man.
I loved Rufsy.
Oh, that was funny.
He was easy to play.
That
was
funny. When the Chick-fil-A was starting to come to town and they were bringing in the freebies, you could get killed.
Oh, yeah.
If you were walking over there to grab one, you could get trampled.
There was usually a stampede. There's no question about it.
And that day we went to Hoyt's and Kenny ate 7 of the chicken sandwiches, but threw the buns away. He just wanted the sandwiches. Then he went to get a pork chop at Hoyt's.
Oh,
God.
I remember that night. We all had to go there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We were all there.
That's when you ordered a salad.
Well, I'd eaten at home.
It was getting late, man. We didn't eat until 8:30.
I couldn't wait till 8 o'clock.
Definitely dinner's at 6.
You guys.
Radio doesn't hire weird people at all.
You guys would have each paid a $25 admission fee to go back to the 70s when Joe was on a baseball trip and we lined up a big meal at Sally's Steakhouse on a Saturday night in Milwaukee. And I think Katie was on the trip, I think, with me. But we 8 o'clock, because we'll be done right in 7:30, 8 o'clock. 9:30, we're still sitting around waiting to get seated because it wasn't a big place.
Drove me nuts.
All of a sudden,
bad waiter.
It's time to sit. What happened to Joe? And somebody, he left. He couldn't take it anymore. He left.
Was he looking at his watch every 3 seconds?
Oh, God. He was, well, he was
pacing. I wonder if Sally still exists.
No, doesn't. It's gone.
And neither does Butch's, does it?
Remember I don't Butch's? Think Butch's does. Butch's is great. There's a, I don't think the one over by Jeffrey Dahmer's house is either. What was the name of that place? The one over by Marquette. It was, they had a place there where you would, John's or something. You would go in, order at the bar, and 50 minutes later, they'd come and tap your shoulder, and you'd sit out, and the salad would be there, and the steak would come out like a 5 minutes later. They were
turning over
they
tables.
Wanted to turn that baby over. Sure. They didn't want people sitting there and lollygagging.
Well, occupying time. Yeah, sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
You know, they
probably
would,
50 bucks per person.
I'd never seen that before. John's, I think.
Where
it
was County Stadium in relation to Miller Park?
Right next to it.
Oh, it was. Okay.
It's now the parking lot.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Got it.
And apparently, if you owned a restaurant, it was just a one of somebody's first name. You know, Butch's, Sally's, John's.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Worst experience of my life, though, not the worst, but top five, was stopping. We were driving back from Milwaukee after a day game. I think it was about 3 or 4 of us. But we decided to stop at Carl Rogers and eat German food.
Oh, boy.
Before the and this was when the speed limit was 55, you know. We drove back. Sauerbraten.
That was a rough one. That was a rough road.
Now, does Carl Rogers still exist?
No, Carl Rogers went out of business.
What the hell? There's nothing left.
Well, there's, you know, some of the Maters and I think a couple of the other old ones are there. But
what was the restaurant, Put Away the Menu Boys, the kid from Fulda's going to?
Hopkins, I think. What was that? When Guy Green and
Put Away the Menu Boys.
Hey, I ran into Harrington. He's bartending at the place out in left field, the where you're...
Oh, the Grey Duck. The Grey Duck.
Where your sister used to work.
The Grey Duck, or is it...
Where your sister used to work.
Yeah, it was... what was it? The rum. Who's the rum guy?
Captain Morgan?
Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan, yeah. It's now something else.
Yeah, it's something else.
It's the Grey Duck.
Does your sister still work there?
I saw him at church all during Lent. I ran into Greg Harrington.
Yeah. Wasn't your sister working
there? Yeah, and the Wild Games. I'm not sure what her status is with the comeback. I don't know if... I know Teresa was, and Paula, my cousin, was, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I got to give you this report, Joe. Father Brian O'Rourke died.
Yeah.
My cousin.
Yeah.
The O'Rourkes, of course, Frank and Helen were the parents. Helen was my mother's sister. They lived in the big house over on Wilder.
Yep.
And right around the corner was St. Mark's. And I think by the time the Ricey kids started staying there, we'd come up and we'd stay with them when we came up from Fulda. I think maybe the two oldest boys, John and Jerry, were already gone. Jerry was in went to the Capuchin monks or some dang thing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And Sheila was the daughter, and then Brian was the youngest. He ended up, you know, becoming a priest. And greatest guy ever. But he ended up coming back as his last parish priest job when he was in his 60s or early 70s was at St. Mark's, right around the corner, where his mother, Helen, would you know, was the secretary there. But that's where he was raised as a kid, and he ended up coming back to St. Mark's. Now, here was the only downside. The O'Rourkes were the greatest people of all time, Frank and Helen. Saint it on Helen.
And he was the mechanic arts coach?
He was the mechanic arts football coach. And and later on, when the kids were all gone, they moved over to Rome. They lived over on Rome Avenue, right up there by Montreal, right off. But in the big old house, the problem with the big old house was if you mistimed it after dinner... Rosary.
Oh.
On the knees.
Yeah.
Now you could, it was carpeted.
Yeah.
The main room was carpeted. with the TV in it, and you could lean on the floor. You could find an ottoman or a chair or a couch, or even you could lean. You could lean forward. You didn't have to stand up. But the whole rosary.
Oof. Was it all year long?
Only 365, baby.
I would have been over at St. Mark's shooting some extra hoops in Joe Meyer's Sadie and gymnasium.
When they lived on Rome, it's at St. Greg's is over there, right?
Yeah.
St. Gregory's. They ended up, they were on the other side, you know, so they would have had to walk all the way around. And when they got older, basically the neighbors made them a little path through the backyards, through the backyards and the fences, so they could cut through because they went to Mass every morning. Gosh. Every morning, yeah.
That's
so,
dedication that Frank, I don't have.
But my brother actually, when he first came to college, and apparently with a mild intention to graduate, he which he quickly lost.
Right.
He was going to go. He went to St. Thomas, I believe, the first quarter or whatever it was, and then he transferred to the U and became a very good gin rummy player. But he was there that fall and would go to the Mechanic Arts football games with Frank. And this Frank is the most religious guy that ever lived. And, you know, just a great guy. But the halftime speech, Michael heard some words that he never thought Uncle Frank was capable of spewing.
That's probably why he was going to church
every day. I remember him saying to me, you got to listen to Frank at halftime. You get a whole new opinion of him.
did Frank ever have good clubs here?
Not bad, but the one time I saw them play, so, God, I'm 8 years old, maybe nine.
Yeah.
They were playing Central, and that was the arch rival, of course, because those were the two, where the black kids first started going to school were Mechanic Arts and Central, and they were the arch rival. But Central had the Blakely brothers, which were they both ended up playing at the U. They were these two great studs, and it was in Old Griffin Stadium, which was old then. And they got their ass kicked, and I sat next to Aunt Helen, and she was praying and doing everything else, but it didn't help.
Covering her ears during halftime.
Praying did not help you tackle the Blakely brothers.
No. Mechanic Arts Trainers.
Trainers. What a great nickname.
Yeah.
I spoke at I don't know if it still exists, but they had an M Club.
I did that once, Pat.
Did you?
Yeah. Yes.
They've been out of business since the mid-70s. They beat Fulda in the state basketball tournament in the 70s by holding the ball, those cheating son of a guns. Uh-huh. Remember Elmer Bailey? He was a great athlete. Yeah.
Yes.
Elmer was like their last great athlete at Mechanic Arts. And I think they lost in the state finals that year. But it went out of business about 75, 76. But the trainers, Frank was there forever. He was the AD for a long time after he was the coach there. So, anyway.
Hey, really quick. Joe, on Friday, Pat was in here working on his piece for over the weekend, and we stumbled upon some YouTube clips. And listen to me, people. If you have some time to kill, which I did Friday night, of course, go to YouTube and search Charles Barkley, San Antonio. And you get gems like this.
Oh, my truck could do that right now.
Entertainment in Houston.
I bet you couldn't do that to them big ass women in San Antonio.
We're not even in San Antonio.
So it's just Barkley fun of the big old girls from San Antonio.
And he, no way. This is what, 10 years ago.
At
There's
least.
No way he could get away with that anymore.
No, but
oh,
he,
God, no.
It used to be his running joke on that show when it was the greatest, he would say, because apparently he was, I don't know, I think he got harassed unmercifully when
That's
he played in San Antonio, especially when he was Houston. So he noticed that some of the girls in the expensive seats were large, and he did that joke for 5 years.
The Spurs are in the middle of this great dynasty with one of the best players ever, and all he could comment is on the big old girls from San Antonio. It's pretty funny.
He got away. You know, it's what made that show great. It helped make the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And now, of course, he couldn't get away with that stuff.
No.
So he still... And he never had a real great interest in who was who, but he's lost it completely now. Hearing him on halftime of the college of the NCAA tournament is just hysterical. He doesn't know who any of these guys are. Pat, he says that tall kid. I saw him play that tall skinny kid. What's
they started a bit on their show called "Who He Play For," because he didn't know the player on the team.
Who he play for?
That was in the NBA.
Or the NBA. You're right.
They'd quiz him and they'd put a little wizard's hat on him and put him on a stool and they would give him hints and say who he play for, you know.
Oh, what a great bit.
Because one day he said, who he play
who
for?
He play for? Yeah, they asked him, Charles, tell us about McDermott. He goes, who he play for?
Also, Joe, worst golf swing of all time. And that comes from a guy who has a bad golf swing.
Right.
He stops three times.
Yeah, it's got like not one hitch, but three hitches tries to get the follow through.
Oh, they remember he was, wasn't he going to be on the Hank Haney? Wasn't he one of Hank Haney's
first? Yeah, I think they just ultimately gave up.
Yeah, they did. He got no better because he just dragged it along. And I think
he's doing a great commercial now, Golf Galaxy or something.
Oh,
Charles is? Yeah.
I haven't seen
it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Well, yeah. he's a great guy. I already told you the story about I was sitting with Silas McKinney in a bar on Torrey Pines there, and Barkley. He tried to illegally recruit Barkley when he was down in Alabama, and they were just telling stories. But when Charles got up to leave, this guy came over, and this kid had birth defects, you know, but he was now in his 20s, and the guy was, you know, in bad shape. But a Charles fan, Charles went over there, and he was leaving, but he went over there and talked to the kid for 45 minutes.
That's cool.
The guy, you know. So they say... Brian McIntyre used to be the the media guy for the entire NBA. He said the best guy they ever had with people.
Did you ever read the famous story about a Japanese family that whose father was befriended by Barkley?
Yeah, that's right.
It was a great piece written by I think the Japanese father's kid, and how they just. You know, I think he was an engineer or something. Mm-hmm. And they ran into each other at a bar in an airport and started shooting the breeze. And the next thing you know, they became fast friends to the point where Barkley attended the guy's funeral.
Yeah, I did read that.
Oh, yeah, it was a hell of a piece.
Yes, yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah. He just liked people, you know, unless you came up and taunted him like that guy in Milwaukee and he dropped him right in his, the guy in the Skyway who came up and started giving him a hard time and he dropped him.
I don't know who Angola is, but they in a world of trouble.
Well, then he elbowed the guy, too, in the face.
Oh, that's right, he did.
Elbowed the guy from Angola in the face, and he said, bleep Angola. They asked him, they wanted him to feel guilty, you know, because they were 60 ahead, and some skinny famine kid from
I'm playing against Barkley,
and he elbowed him in the face, and he says, bleep Angola. He was unbelievable.
In a world of trouble.
He's a great player, though, man. He was a good player.
Wasn't he one of the top five players of all time in his prime?
Six, well, I don't know about it. It's top 10. 6'5" playing inside, too, was amazing.
Yeah.
So... Well, you promised us the shortest Monday Night Sports Talk ever because you're not feeling in the pink. So,
I lied. This is a normal length one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
All right, I'm done.
All right.
See you later.
If you want the best lawn on the block all season long, hook up with a Minnesota-grown lawn care company that knows that dandelions, mystery weeds, bare spots, and blight are completely unacceptable. That's professionalturf.com. If you want service techs with 20 years of experience, techs who throw down a combination of environmentally friendly weed killer and slow-release long-term fertilizers, then visit professionalturf.com. And you know what? While you're on the website, take a close look at their landscape projects. And don't forget, they'll service your irrigation system too. You will have the most lush and luxurious lawn on the block. It's our one stop for exceptional landscape irrigation services and the best lawn on the block, professionalturf.com.
Ricey here with Canopy Group Facts. Fact one, the Canopy Group writes more business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How is this possible? Let's share the other facts for you to understand. fact, too, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies, that leave you at risk for two premium increases per year. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, or even more. Fact five, every year the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies. Captive insurance agencies can't shop that way for you because guess what? They only have one company to deal with. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get the options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
This is Reavers once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And Josh has a very basic question for you. Do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk's clients, and that's Josh Arnold, by the way, they always know what they own. He has found out that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people that are paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds currently yield. Josh begs of you, know what you own. You see, trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. Call him at 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
At Eagle Fun Motorsports in Forest Lake, it's right downtown Forest Lake. You can't miss it. In fact, a lot of people who go to Grunhofer's drive north on 61 another 5 miles, and they're stopped right at the front door of EcoFun Motorsports. I got my Bentelli electric assist bike at EcoFun Motorsports. They have a full line of Yamaha motorcycle products, and they specialize in quality, affordable scooters, mopeds, youth ATVs, youth snowmobiles, all of the equipment and the service that you want. EcoFun sells Bentelli e-bikes. I got a bronze-colored one. I've been riding it. You can pedal it on your own or use the motor assist, or you can use the thumb control and cruise up to 20 miles an hour with no effort at all. Stop in, take a test ride. You are going to love these electric assist bikes. And at EcoFun, you'll discover there's no other store in Minnesota that offers an on-the-floor display of electric assist bikes that compares to what you will find at EcoFun. And at EcoFun, you're not paying the crazy prices they charge for e-bikes at the shops that exclusively sell bicycles. This is a store that sells fun. See it for yourself. Take that short drive to Forest Lake and check out EcoFun Motorsports or learn more at EcoFunMotorsports.com.